views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with Erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once or preferably twice a day until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step three is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception to have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is Fleago, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my four-step flea program and you won't get any. Step four is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larva of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's 4-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Labor Day weekend edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. It is the first Sunday of September already, and it's Vet Sunday, special Vet Sunday with Dr. Mike Salewski, and we're going to get back to him in just a moment. Just going to let you know that there's two reasons you might want to call into Animal World today. Number one would be is we still have a one-year free subscription to the Robin Alexis Soul Spa. If you don't know who Robin is, you want to tune in to Mystic Radio at noon on Wednesdays right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Robin is an incredibly gifted healer and psychic and mystic and medium and channel. And the Soul Spa, you have direct access to her. But one of the best things, especially since today is a healing type show, are the energy portals that she's channeled through into this Soul Spa. Because you put them on as long as they're on a computer running somewhere in your home or office where you work, there is healing energy coming through all the time. Like, I'm not at home right now, but my computer is on and the Mary Magdalene portal is open so that my animal friends are benefiting from that healing energy while I'm not there. So, I'm thinking... this would be great in veterinary practices because you could just have one, you know, you can minimize it. It doesn't have to be active on your screen in order for the energies to be coming through. They'd be great at shelters and sanctuaries.
just for the energy. So, and if you're interested, go to www.robinalexis.com. Check out the Soul Spa, and the only thing you need to qualify is to not be a current member of the Soul Spa. And so if you're a new member, give Scotty a call. He'll set you up. The other reason to call would be is if you have an animal medical care question for Dr. Mike Saluski. The lines will be open for the rest of the show. And even though there's a lot I want to talk to him about, and I know you guys are interested in all of that too, we'd love to entertain your animal medical care questions. So write down the numbers. Local, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-KKNW, and that works out to be 1-888-298-5569. And of course, you can shoot us an email while we're on the air to our live email address. Pretty simple, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Alrighty then, it's time to welcome back to Animal World Dr. Mike Saluski. Morning again, Dr. Mike.
But I'm still here.
Oh, good, good. Now, speaking of you're still here, when you decide to move on, man, you really move on.
Not that far away.
Well, so tell us, now you've ended up in what, the Willamette Valley in Oregon, is that correct?
Yeah, we're in a little town called Carlton, which is
Carlton.
Wonderful. It's right in the heart of the wine country here, so the terrain is just beautiful. I mean, it's just very picturesque, but yet we're still, probably within an hour of Portland, so similar to how we were up in Washington, you know, where you are, where you can get to Seattle if you want to in 45 minutes to an hour, and so you don't feel like you're totally isolated.
Well, that's good to know. About an hour away from Portland?
Yeah.
So that gives us an idea where you're. So what attracted you to that area?
Well, we had our neighbors that were also in Monroe, mm-hmm. around the corner from you. They moved down here about 6 years ago.
Oh.
And so, when my wife would come down to do horse shows down in this area, we would stay with them, or she would stay with them.
Well, because your wife is quite an accomplished rider, but she's also a trainer, an instructor sort of thing, right?
Yeah, in dressage, you bet.
Right, okay, so that she would go down there to do horse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and stay with her friends, and she, you know, right off the bat said, oh, this area is just great, you should come take a look. And, you know, we, with these good friends, we'd come down and do Thanksgiving with them or just come down to let our kids play or whatever. And, you know, we started thinking, wow, well, this would be a good place to live. And when we decided that, the practice I was in wasn't something that I was going to, you know, probably stay at for another 20 years, and then it was probably time for me to go off on my own, you know, looking around for where to do that at, we had considered going back to the East Coast where my family is. But we weren't really East Coast people anymore after being out here so long.
Mm-hmm.
So this area of Oregon was the first place that we really thought of, and so far so good.
All right, and not going into a lot of detail in case someone is wondering why did he go so far away. They're just kind of legal stuff that when you're in a practice as a veterinarian, it could even be, you could be a human doctor. When typically when you leave a practice you've been established at, there are some hoops you need to go through and some legal ramifications, and you can't just like set up shop a block away or something. You have to go a ways away.
Yeah, correct. I mean, I certainly went, further than technically I needed to go, but it was because of the we just liked this area so much. You
right.
Know? So it was the next best place that we could think of to go.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, because it sounds like a beautiful area.
That's terrific.
Now, I also think that had you stayed in the previous practice, I think pretty much you'd always be considered an equine vet. Or a horse vet.
I don't know if that's really the case, to tell you the truth.
Well, maybe not. But nonetheless, at this point in time, do you still consider yourself primarily an equine veterinarian, or is this part of the transition and going out of your own?
I would say that even the last couple of years, my practice was really about 50-50.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I think especially once we had built that separate alternative medicine center a couple of years ago, especially the performance dog segment of the population, the agility, the herding community, have really been very supportive of what I was doing and made it so that I was spending half of my time in the clinic seeing dogs and then the other half out in the field seeing horses. So I the other thing that helped with that is once that other section of the clinic had been set up, it wasn't like people didn't call in to the equine department to get an appointment with me anymore. They were calling in to the alternative medicine part of the clinic, which was all species. And so I think that transition really over the last couple of years has happened. And I would have to say that really even down here in Oregon, the first group that really found me has been the performance dog segment of the community.
So, well, that's interesting. So that's what you're seeing down there now are performance dogs mainly?
Predominantly so far, yeah. I mean, I've certainly seen some horses as well, but I had all sorts of contacts from and referrals from up north to the agility community down here. So I've been seeing a lot of that. And some, first couple of dogs I saw were racing with it.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We're going to do that right now. And, folks, please pay attention. Support them, because without them, there's no us. And then we'll be right back with Dr. Mike. I want to find out more about his practice, because I still don't know. Is he practicing out of his house or his truck or a place? We need details, Dr. Mike. So we'll do that. But we also are taking phone calls and those take priority. So, Sonia, hold on. You will be next up with Dr. Mike. We'll go to the phone calls whenever they come in. And in the meantime, we'll continue our conversation as the show progresses. So if you would like to talk to Dr. Mike about your animal friend, local number 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. You can email us, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And if you want to check out Dr. Mike, go to his new website. It's fabulous. www.hindsightcare.com. Check them out. We'll continue with Dr. Mike Saluski and Vet Sunday right here on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Did you know that Invisible Fence Northwest, well known for keeping dogs safe, now leads the nation in cat safety solutions? More than 2,200 local felines are finding safe freedom with Invisible Fence Northwest. Keep your cat from darting out the front door or safe within your yard, off furniture and counters, or out of bedrooms and kitchens. Their safe, gentle, and humane methods allow cats to discover boundaries on their own terms. Go to InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENC and save $200. Just tell them Martha sent you.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
This life, you're becoming my mother. I know I am. I think I am your mother.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
So you're saying that he's been married twice before this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
I see you getting married in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made Breeze Guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits into your car's windows. Breeze Guards keeps your dog in the car with the windows open, keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle, and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to muttmanagers.com for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out muttmanagers.com.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium, and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the Internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to Animal World. I want to thank you for that. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's the first Sunday of the month, and traditionally that's Vet Sunday here on Animal World. I'm delighted to say to joining us once again is Dr. Mike Saluski from his new home down in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. Good morning again, Dr. Mike. Are you still there?
I am still here.
All right. Well, we are going to table our discussion temporarily because the phone calls are stacking up. You're a popular guy today. And folks, if you have an animal medical care question for Dr. Mike or you just want to talk to him, we're taking your phone calls. We've got one line open at the moment, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. You can send an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And first up, we are going to SeaTac to Sonia. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Mike Saluski.
Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hi, Sonia. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a behavioral question, and I'm not sure if you're able to help me on it. It's with my feline. It's a young male, about 15 months old.
So a 15, wait a minute, a 15-month-old cat. What's his name?
This would be Humphrey.
Humphrey, okay.
He's a lovely, lovely little guy. He's very sweet, very shy, but just, you know, real sweet around the normal family members. Our dilemma is that he gets, I don't know if he's angry or what his issues are, but when he's upset about something, he refuses to urinate in his box, but then chooses to urinate around the family commode.
So, oh, isn't that interesting?
I'm constantly washing the little rugs that are around the commode, so I don't know what to do about it anymore.
Well,
and
know,
it's not that, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please finish.
It's not that we haven't tried other things with him. We're at wit's end. We're like going, okay, either we get this under control or we have to find him a new home.
Sure. Certainly understandable. And did you hear our previous conversation with Jennifer from Los Angeles?
I didn't hear it.
Okay. We talked a little bit about this type of thing. Her situation is a little bit different than yours because she had a cat-cat interaction where you had a dominant and beating up on one and an inappropriate urination. The fact that you have this, you know, one spot area going on and that it probably is tied into stress or anger or an emotional thing leads to a couple of different solutions. I'll reiterate what we talked about with Jennifer is that the first thing that you want to find out is to make sure that you're not having a problem with a urinary tract infection or cystitis or crystals in the urine, make sure that is not the case.
Sonia, that means you need a urine specimen checked by your veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. Got that.
Now, with the behavioral stuff, Martha can probably speak more to that. From a holistic standpoint, if you're dealing with emotion expression, like with stress or with anger, there are a great many Chinese herbs that do that. Because Chinese theory looks at the entire animal, not just the physical aspects, but the emotional aspects, we do see a lot of behavioral disorders, emotional stress. Now, the way that the Chinese look at things is they think of the liver as sort of smoothing out the emotions, and that when you get an obstruction in the liver in particular, you get sort of defiant or angry outbursts in behavior. And there are many ways to do that, to correct that, both with herbs and with food. So, for instance, you can get a lot of buildup of stagnation in these animals if they're being fed, especially cats, being fed kibble-type diets or diets with safe and grains in them. So
you don't recommend dry food for cats, Dr. Mike?
No, I don't. Okay. No, I don't. If it's absolutely necessary, you definitely need to look for a grain-free kibble. But I definitely prefer the wet foods for cats because of this stagnation issue. And the grains in particular also tend to build up, as we look at it, heat in the body, which can also lead to heat in the bladder and create a cystitis or things that are going to cause inappropriate urination too. So there are herbs that you can work with this, especially if the animal is under emotional stress or is having this stagnation of the emotions in the body. Aromatherapies, we had talked about with Jennifer, also work well. And then, of course, there are the behavioral things, and like Martha talks about and what she deals with, is dealing with that human-animal interaction and behavioral things that the animals, especially cats that are very empathetic, might be picking up on and then displaying outwardly as behavioral things. So, Martha, if you want to talk to that a little bit more in detail, go ahead.
Yeah, before I do that even, fascinating, Mike, with what you were talking about with the Chinese medicine and the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
With emotional issues and it being tied, because I'll tell you, Sonia, from a behaviorist standpoint, which is what I'm an animal behavior therapist and trainer, and these are the kind of problems I work with to help people resolve over the phone or in their home type thing. And when it comes to cats and inappropriate urination, I find it relates more to what's going on with the humans on a suppressed negative emotional level than with the cats themselves.
Oh.
Now, so I work with you actually more than I do with the cats in most cases. But Mike, what I found so fascinating is that I'll tell you the underlying human cause for inappropriate urination is anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know from a metaphysical standpoint, when humans suppress anger, it generally tends to go to the urinary tract system, kidneys, bladder sort of thing,
right.
And or the liver. So, Mike, it sounds like what I'm doing behaviorally with this human-to-animal transference just correlates real nicely with Chinese medicine.
It is kind of interesting on how all sorts of different medical systems correlate really well with this. In Chinese medicine, you've got basically six pairs of organs that take care of everything, including the different emotions. And certain emotions are tied to each individual organ. So, for instance, worry is connected to the spleen, and joy is connected to the heart, sadness, to the lung, that type of thing.
Right.
But the liver is what regulates all of those and actually plays a part in human medicine in things like PMS and postpartum depression in women. But because the liver anatomically also sits very close to the stomach, you very often get a situation where the liver, what we call overacts on the spleen and the stomach, and is responsible for stomach ulcers. So in Western medicine, we very commonly associate emotional stress with ulcers, right? And the Chinese have been for years and years. And so we deal a lot of times when we're dealing with stomach ulcers, and horses are probably the species that we deal with it the most, but you see it in some dogs too, where they're under a high bit of stress and then they pop up with these stomach ulcers. And the herbs that we use are to smooth out that liver and to keep that liver from overacting on the stomach. So, in all these different medical systems, and like you found out, you find this high correlation to a lot of the same theories. It's just a different way of looking at it, but we're all coming to the same conclusion.
Yeah, which is why I would say that I think probably in order to resolve your problem, Sonia, you're going to need help from a behaviorist, and you can certainly work with me off the air. I'm also going to let you know right now I'm considering scheduling a Behavior Sunday, which means I would just be me answering your behavior training and healing questions that relate to that sort of thing. It would be the third Sunday of September. September, but I'd love your feedback, folks. Either you can call Scotty while we're here on the air, or you can email me through MarthaNorwalk.com and let me know if you'd be interested in having a full Sunday of just behavior talk, because I'm happy to do that. The other thing, Sonia, so let me know if you'd be around the third Sunday of September and you'd want to call in and talk about this. Otherwise, I can work with you over the phone to start with, you know, off the air. But okay. What concerns me, the first thing that concerns me, and you just said that this Humphrey, now he's a young guy, he ordinarily uses his box.
Correct.
But you're saying when he's out of sorts, he pees around the toilet, the human toilet.
Pees around the toilet, exactly.
And the rug's around the toilet. Okay. Now the first thing that came to my mind was, well, maybe he wants to pee in the toilet just like you guys, you know, and there are programs to teach cats to use the human toilets.
We thought about that.
Yeah, so you actually can do that. But the other thing I want to do before we let you go is I want to get you in perspective with this, because what disturbed me most about your phone call, Sonia, was when you said, if we don't resolve this, we're going to have to find him another home.
I'm not
beating you up on, you know, personally. It's just that I want you to realize that, okay, he gets, for whatever reason, there's an issue and he's peeing on the throw rugs around your toilet. Well, honey, it could be a whole lot worse. He could be hosing all your furniture, your bed, your carpets. You know, you could have pee everywhere. You don't. So don't make this more than it is. The worst case scenario, he pees on the throw rug next to the toilet. For heaven's sakes, you throw it in the washer. It's not a big deal. Okay. And remember that human anger aggravates this situation. So whenever you find this pee by the toilet, ask yourself, first thing, how do I feel? If your answer is, I'm pissed the cat peed on the toilet again. Okay.
Go scream
in a pillow. Let that energy out rather than yelling at the cat. Because when you direct it back at the cat, you will just amplify it and make it worse. Okay.
All right.
So get this in perspective. Be grateful that he isn't hosing your whole house. And
true.
What's going on right now is easy to take care of. If you are willing to get some help and work with me either in person or over the phone or on the radio, I can guarantee you this is absolutely resolvable.
I love that, and I would love to do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, Sonia.
Thank you.
And I'll be giving you contact information at the top of the next hour, or you can go to my website, MarthaNorwalk.com. But please be in touch, and we'll get this resolved for you, okay?
Thank you so very much.
And then
I'm also
going to tell you, though, and everybody listening, when it comes to these cats and inappropriate peeing, yes, behavior therapy is necessary, and I tell you it has more to do with what's going on with the humans and the cat, which Sonia will find out if she works with me. But the other thing, I am not in favor of, from a veterinary medical standpoint, using the psychotropic drugs, you know, like Prozac for cats and stuff. But what Dr. Mike is talking about, the Chinese medicine, the herbs, the diet stuff, and clearing, you know, that liver and stuff, also flower essences or aroma type therapy like Mike's talking about, those things can really help in combination with behavior therapy.
Okay. Very good.
All right, Sonia. Thanks for your
call. I will get in touch with you. Thank you so much for all your responses. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, let's see. Dr. Mike, we're going to stay on the phone here, and we are now going to Everett. Terry, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Mike Saluski. Hey, Terry.
Oh, hi.
Hello. You're on the radio, Terry.
All righty. Hi, Dr. Mike.
Yes.
I was working with Martha a couple weeks ago in regards to my dog, Gypsy. And she suggested that I call and talk with you and get some additional interest involved. She's got I call it an eating disorder. And this last week or so, after speaking with Martha, I went ahead and put her on, included a new diet for her, which was the brown rice and the veggies.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm finally tuning in, Terry. Dr. Mike, Terry called us on the air about this dog. I think on Kim Sunday, isn't that where you started? And Kim Miller Medium was on. And Gypsy is like kind of a lab mix, isn't she?
Correct.
And she's eaten lots of junk. She eats everything, and you were calling because she's eaten all the apples, and she's eaten all kinds of stuff. And Kim was able to tune in and figure out that Gypsy was a kind of a rescue and had been starved in her previous life, you know, before Terry, Dr. Mike. And then I think, Terry, you called me, and we chatted over the phone a bit, off the air, right?
Correct.
And that's where we talked about cleaning up, improving the dog's diet, and all of that. So tell us, now I want you to go back, because I wanted to fill Mike in on how this all, and everybody listening, how this all started. Now fill us in as to where you are now with Gypsy.
Well, right now Gypsy's on Canidae dog food.
Okay.
And we're scooping some of the brown rice mixture that you told me about.
Mm-hmm.
With the vegetables and stuff, we're scooping some of that into her food. And it seems, my sister seems to think that, because I'm not home during the day, but she is, and she says that she seems less anxious.
Oh, good.
In between meals.
Dr. Mike, I was thinking, since she was going for everything and eating all this stuff, that maybe there was a way to kind of bulk up her food without turning her into a big fat dog and, you know, adding vegetables and fiber and roughage and all of that. But I think that's all we've done, Terry, isn't it?
Yeah, that is all we've done so far. But, you know, I had an interesting experience, and I was walking Gypsy, and I didn't have any treats with me. But what I did have was Wheat Thins. Now, I have not given Gypsy any food, any people food, in a couple of weeks. But I gave her some Wheat Thins, because when I walk her, if a car comes up behind me or in front of me, I make her sit and stay.
Mm-hmm.
And when she does, she's a good girl. She gets a treat. So I gave her a Wheat Thin, and she got sick that night. So I got to wondering.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Mike.
It kind of relates to what we were talking about, you know, before with the grains and stuff. Can I back up a bit, Terry, and ask you, what was her previous diet?
Her previous diet from when?
To the Canada.
Oh, I think you were just feeding Canada, weren't you? Just dry with nothing added.
Right, nothing added. Yeah.
And when you say sick, diarrhea or vomiting?
Vomiting.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, it got me to thinking maybe she has a reaction to wheat. So I looked at some dog biscuits that I had bought for her. And sure enough, those biscuits had wheat in it. And I had given her those biscuits weeks ago because I thought maybe there's something in them that's making her sick. And she had quit throwing up until I gave her that Wheat Thin.
Well, I'd say that'd be a good reason to eliminate wheat from her diet, wouldn't you, Mike?
Right.
Yeah, well, I think every dog should have wheat eliminated from their diet and corn for sure, if not all of the grain. But, you know, we had talked a little bit about, you know, diet and what produces, you know, heat and various things before. And I think we run into a lot more sort of, I guess, what you'd call gluten allergies or gluten intolerances in dogs. Labs and lab mixes in particular are very, very sensitive to this. And I treat have treated in the past a number of patients that get something called hemorrhagic gastroenteritis, where they're actually vomiting up bloody vomit, because they're so sensitive to it. And what basically the bottom line is, what happens is you wind up getting a lot of heat in the stomach. Again, I'm talking about this from the Chinese perspective. And so what you want to try to do is have a diet that is cooling and not heat producing. And probably the ultimate in that, which is difficult for a lot of people to do, but, you know, is a raw food diet. A lot of dogs do. Again, that becomes a big management hassle for a lot of people, especially if you have children in the house or if there's, you know, health issues you're concerned about. But certainly getting away from the very super hot producing grains, of which wheat is the primary culprit, corn probably secondary to that, tends to create a lot of stomach problems, a lot of large intestine problems, a lot of ear problems. So you're definitely on the right track with how you're going. The other thing that helps with a lot of these guys is making sure that whatever food you do decide on, that you stay with cooler proteins. So it basically, the things that you would want to avoid the most would be things like lamb and veal as proteins, and stick towards cooler proteins. Venison, fish in particular are really good in that respect too. And that alone a lot of times can change things.
Now, okay, now you're never, saying, Dr. Mike, I just want to clarify this for people listening, that if you the proteins that cause heat in the body are like lamb and beef?
Lamb and veal are probably the primary, the biggest culprit that you see in commercial diets. And then you get other degrees of it, and depending on how, you know, it's too complicated to get into
right
now.
But so cooling proteins would be venison and fish.
Yeah.
Now there are some good foods with venison and fish in them these days.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking of Addiction, and I'm thinking of First Mate. Now what I want to ask you, Dr. Mike, now is that pretty much the grain-free dry foods now are using potatoes instead of the grain. So how do you feel about that?
Well, again, it's going to depend on the individual patient. The root vegetables aren't too bad. I mean, the more starch you have in a diet, the tougher it is for these animals that are really predominantly carnivores to deal with. But most dogs, you can get away with that. They usually need to have some type of, you know, filler in there. And potatoes and things like rice and even oats are not as bad as the wheat and the corn. And so sometimes you just make a compromise. Really, really sensitive dogs, you have to eliminate all of those things before you make success. Now, it sounds like Gypsy is probably kind of in between, you know, and so you probably will be able to do well with just making sure that you're avoiding wheat and avoiding, you know, corn, and probably do fine. The thing that I was going to get to, though, is that this heat-producing diet not only produces upset stomach, and the heat in the stomach also produces this ravenous appetite where, just like with a person with a stomach ulcer, wants to throw stuff in their belly because for a short period of time they feel better.
Oh, that may be the whole connection.
Martha, can I just say something really quick?
Sure.
I'm having a really hard time hearing Dr. Mike.
Okay, well, what he was just saying there is that a heat-producing diet will actually can cause a ravenous appetite.
And a heat-producing, I heard the lamb.
Lamb and veal.
Veal, okay.
Beef. Now, what about, Dr. Mike, chicken, turkey?
A lot of times turkey is a bit warmer than the other poultry. So,
okay.
I usually say chicken. Fish is probably the ideal.
Fish is ideal? Okay.
Venison, rabbit is also a good one. You know, there are some that you get some diets that are incorporating rabbit right now. I just want to make one other point, because this is going to help a lot of the other issues too. You had mentioned anxiety. When you get a lot of extra heat in the body that affects the stomach, the GI tract, it also affects behavior. And the primary thing is anxiety when you're starting to get a bit of heat in the body. So just by making some of these dietary changes to a more cooling type of diet really might solve, you know, a lot of these imbalances that you're dealing with.
Okay, that sounds really great. So, Terry, talking about, it would be a really good idea to get Gypsy on a more cooling diet to see if that, because it could affect her anxiety level, her ravenous appetite, all of that. I'm not positive, but Canidae may have lamb in it.
I know it doesn't have any wheat because we looked at that.
Right. Need to look at the protein sources. And I think the fish and potato diet that I like the best is made by First Mate. So it's probably worth switching her over to First Mate, you know, chicken and potato diet, or fish and potato would be ideal.
Yeah,
and you would do that gradually over a few days. I would continue to add in the veggies and the brown. Is brown rice okay, Dr. Mike?
Yeah, the rice is not going to be, it's going to be pretty neutral to cooling to the body, too. Again, it, depending on the extreme cases, I've seen even react to rice. So it's a matter of, but it doesn't sound like Gypsy is extreme. It sounds like being kind of middle of the road. So you'd probably be able to find something that's, you know, pretty easy to manage. These dogs that I was talking about before that are vomiting up blood, they usually have to go on very, very thick diet.
Okay. So, Terry, a switch over to First Mate and fish and potato and the dry food. And then you can continue adding the brown rice and the veggies, and let's see how Gypsy responds. I also, Dr. Mike, wondering, is with a dog with a ravenous appetite like this, I think you've made the correlation in Chinese medicine to the heat producing diets and so forth, but would acupuncture or herbs of any kind help a dog like this?
It definitely, diet is the foundation. And so if you're not being able to resolve it 100%, yeah, certainly. Usually I'll approach it more with herbs, although acupuncture can have some help as well, too. Again, it depends on the severity of the case, on which direction you go to. The good thing is that even if you do need to do herbs in cases like this, a lot of times it winds up being temporary for a couple of months until you get things back in balance. But it's going into, again, more Western stuff, you know, in not that I'm applying this to Gypsy necessarily, but this same idea applies to diseases like Cushing's disease and diabetes, where you get all this ravenous appetite and extra water drinking, is that their body is producing, you know, too much heat within. And again, you see similar symptoms, but it's usually a different pattern and a different cause, and we approach it a little differently.
Okay, now I said when we started this call, Dr. Mike, I mean, Terry's in Everett, but I can see a need for her to get more coaching from you in terms of adjusting the diet, maybe even doing some herbs and so forth. So I'm wondering now, down at Hindsight, down there in Oregon, will you be doing telephone consultations?
Yeah, I have done some consultations both by email and by telephone. I always think that it's probably more ideal for somebody if they can find a local practitioner that's doing Chinese medicine, if that's the way they want to go. Because, you know, if you can make all these, you know, guesses based on experience and stuff like that as to what the pattern is, and which herbs you might want to use. But really having your hands on and being able to look at a patient is invaluable in these cases, and especially for follow-ups or if you need to tweak herbs, that type of thing. I'm more than happy to help out where I can, but really long-term, if things are not getting to 100%, you really do need to find somebody local to be able to do the best job for the animal.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right, Terry, we're going to have to let you go, but you can contact me off the air if you need more, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Mike. Martha, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thanks for calling Animal World.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. We come back. We've got to do a quick current events. Peg, hold on to your line. We'll get to you in this hour if we can't. Otherwise, you'll be first up in the next hour. Stay with us. Vet Sunday with Dr. Mike Salusky continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food can be exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friends' food. add in the missing link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. The missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a missing link formula for dogs, one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and a missing link plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387, or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage.
Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including three distinct certification courses in animal massage. Short workshops in animal massage and other related topics are also available.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Go online to NWSAM.com for registration details.
Call the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Desilly is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. OptiGest is a complete formula of four plant-based enzymes and is the food for the healthy bacteria which supports the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. OptiGest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. OptiGest's natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/optigest for more information.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of our Labor Day weekend edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Remember, we're out at 11:55 today for the Storm game, so get in with your phone calls if you can. We are, before we go back to the phones and Dr. Mike, it is time right now for current events. Okie dokie. Speaking of entertainment, on the current event schedule, and by the way, if you don't have something to write down details or want more information, go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com, and click on current events on the left-hand side of the page. That will bring up all the details for the events I'm going to tell you about, and then a whole bunch of more that I don't have time for. Let's see, the new stuff on the current events list. We've got Old Dog Haven Benefit at Westside Yoga in West Seattle. That will be on September 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. It sounds like a great thing, and music and all kinds of stuff, but I don't have any more details than that. The location's website is www.westsideyogadoga.com. westsideyogadoga.com. To check it out. But anyway, that's September 9th, 6 to 9 p.m. Let's see, Fabulous Felines from Seattle Animal Shelter are available for adoption September 11th at Meadowbrook Community Center from noon to 3 p.m. www.seattleanimalshelter.org for more information. ooh, I'm getting excited. The Monroe Swift Watch is from September 11th to the 26th. www.pilchuckaudubon.org for more information. And then I hope you'll join us for Swift Night Out at Frank Wagner Elementary School. Oh, remind me, Dr. Mike, I know you're probably listening. I wonder, have you ever seen the Swifts go down the chimney at the Frank Wagner Elementary School in Monroe? Since hopefully you got to see that before you left the area. Anyway, Saturday, September 11th from 4 p.m. to dusk, a big party at the elementary school. Lots of booze and information and stuff. I'm going to be there, and I'll be happy to answer your behavior training and healing questions for free. Or I'd just like to meet you and hang out with you. There's children's activity. A $5 spaghetti feed starts at 5 p.m. There's a one-hour lecture on Vox's Swifts at 6:30. And then we're all going to hang on the lawn there in front of the elementary school and watch the thousands and thousands and thousands of Swifts enter the chimney at dusk. So check it out, www.monroeswifts.com. Now, the second annual Doggy Stock, A Day of Tales and Music, will be at Centennial Fields in Snoqualmie on Saturday, September 18th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. This sounds like a great thing. A dog walk, $15 entry. That's a benefit, of course. Four bands, music playing all that time, demonstrations, beer garden, food vendors, booths, vet, doggy Olympics, canine costume contest, and a doghouse raffle, and it's all free. So check that one out. The Humane Society's Walk for the Animal is on Animals at the University Village is September 26th. And now let's see, the Sexless Soiree benefiting Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project is September 25th. Paws Walk 2010 is September 11th at Magnuson Park. And then there's all kinds of cool events coming up at the Northwest Stream Center in Everett. Stream and Wetland Ecology Basic Training is on Thursday, September 9th. Now, it's an all-day thing, 8:30 to 4:30, and this is designed for, like, real estate agents, appraisers, lawyers, teachers, landowners that want to know about wetland ecology and all that kind of stuff. Sounds great. On Thursday, September 16th, Salmon in the Trees. That sounds interesting. 7 p.m., wildlife photographer Annie Gulick provides an unforgettable journey of one of the rarest ecosystems on Earth, and that's the Alaska's Tongass Rainforest. It's designed for middle school to adults, $5 or $7 admission. You need a reservation. And then, of course, September 11th will be an Eagle Takes Wing at Northwest Stream Center, and that, of course, is Jeff Guidry and Freedom, oh boy, part of our family. And so if you want to meet them, September 11th. And here's the number to call, 425-316-8590 or www.streamkeeper.org. And then the Black Cat Ball is October 23rd this year. That benefits Perfect Pals. And then all the rest of the stuff on the current events list you can get off the website. But I want to tell you, next week, got a special show. And we've never done this before. This is the first. Well, I'm kind of excited about it myself. It is Robin Alexis Sunday on Animal World. Oh boy, how fun will that be? That means Robin Alexis. She is a gifted healer, Reiki master, channel, medium, general psychic, you name it, she does it. She's going to join us for the show. I just did a guest spot on an internet radio show, Brad Simpkins' show earlier, Inner Guide Healing, earlier this week. And he asked me a question on the air that I really didn't have an answer to. And what he wanted to know was, do animals have totems? Do they have spirit guides and angels and all of that like we humans do? Well, I kind of assume the answer is yes, but I never really looked at that. So Robin and I are going to look at that on the air, next week. So that's going to be an interesting discussion, and then who knows what we'll get into, but we will have open phone lines, and Robin will read and channel for you and your animal friends, so I hope you'll join us for that. Well, goodness. Look at this. Looks like we've pretty much talked our way through this second hour of Animal World. So we've got Peg on the line for Dr. Mike. Got a shy listener that doesn't want to go on the air but has a question about her 17-year-old dog with dry skin. So we're going to be talking about that as well. We're going to just close out this hour. We'll turn it right around. So stay right where you are. Dr. Mike Saluski, all the way from Oregon, is here. Open phone lines till the end of the show. And Peg, you'll be next up. And it's sooner or later, we're going to find out more about hindsight and what his new practice is all about and how he's actually functioning down there. So we'll get to those details at some point. So stay with me. Animal World continues. Vet Sunday, Dr. Mike Saluski, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.